This is Glow in the Dark Radio. The science fiction podcast with original independent science fiction written and performed by Mike Luoma, with music by Kevin MacLeod, The Vatican Assassin Trilogy, and The Adventures of Alibi Jones by Mike Luoma are available in ebook, trade paperback, and audiobook wherever you find your books online. Get links and details at glowinthedarkradio.com. This is the science fiction podcast, Glow in the Dark Radio. I'm your host, your writer and reader, Mike Luoma. And we've got Chapter 6 of Vatican Ambassador coming up on this episode. BC heading back to Lunar Prime after meeting some of the most powerful people in the universe, the Universal Trade Zone Council, Council of CEOs. He met them out on Wentworth Station, and now he's heading back to Lunar Prime. The moon's going to be a different place under its new governor, Daniel McIntyre, no friend of BC's. So we'll find out what changes BC needs to adjust to as we get into Chapter 6 of Vatican Ambassador, coming up on Glow in the Dark Radio. First, a little bit of book news. The Smashwords July Summer Winter Sale is underway. That's an ebook sale with big savings on my big books. I'm giving you 50% off the Vatican Assassin Trilogy 3rd Edition, the collected 3rd Edition, and you can also get 50% off the Adventures of Alibi Jones Chronological Omnibus. Both of those books, usually $4.99, now just $2.49 during the Smashwords July Summer Winter Sale, which goes through July 31st. You can get that at smashwords.com or just follow the link in the show notes. That's all I have for book news. We're going to get into Chapter 6 next on Glow in the Dark Radio.
50 years ago, Mira, humankind's last hope to find new resources, departed the solar system. 7 years into her mission, she disappeared. She has returned. SNR Black, a Sol Federation Marine Corps vessel, is sent to retrieve her from certain destruction in the Kuiper Belt beyond Pluto. What they find will change humankind forever. From Parsec Award-winning author Paul E. Cooley, Derelict, Marines, Part 1 of the Derelict Saga, combines military sci-fi, space opera, mystery, and suspense to create a journey you won't forget. Podcast available at shadowpublications.com. Paperback and ebook available from Amazon.com. Some mysteries shouldn't be solved.
Now here's Chapter 6 of Vatican Ambassador on Glow in the Dark Radio. The trip back to the moon is relatively fast, under 8 hours. BC nods off in his stateroom during the trip. He comes too as Wentworth's ship clunks into its berth at the port at Lunar Prime.
Less than 8 hours? Again? Isn't that just like the UTZ Council, keeping the fastest ships for themselves?
BC disembarks into Wentworth's private bay, and then makes his way through the Lunar Prime spaceport. He finds a porter unit to take his luggage back to the Vatican mission. As he passes queued-up outgoing passengers at one of the public carrier counters, he spots Mark Edwards in line. BC walks over to say hello. "Mark, how are you?" BC asks as he shakes his hand. "What are you doing here? Where are you off to?"
"Too many questions at once, BC," Edwards laughs. "I'm going away for a while." I don't have that many responsibilities right now, so I'm going to go visit some family back on Earth. Take a break. Maybe do the tourist thing and see a few sights. A vacation, imagine that. How are you doing? Don't ask, BC sighs. He changes the subject. You know, Mark, I'm still stunned people voted that terrorist into office over you. I don't know, BC, Edwards sighs. Is it really that surprising? They never really voted me in the first place, did they? They got me by default when Meredith died. Now they've got Daniel. Guess they like the McIntyres, Edwards says, the defeat resounding in his voice.
Damn, the guy doesn't deserve this.
Edwards perks up. Hey, I saw you came in on that UTZ yacht. Wentworth ship. Traveling with some pretty fancy company, aren't you?
Pretty slimy company, actually.
Not really. He wanted to meet with someone connected with the Vatican. I guess these days I'm the most accessible. I'm convenient, acting ambassador and all. But I couldn't tell him anything he didn't already know.
Edwards' turn at the counter comes. He steps up and orders. One to New York. Thank you.
That's Liner 95. It's leaving soon. You only have 2 minutes, the woman behind the counter tells Edwards. Gate 7, Mr. Edwards. You'll have to hurry.
She clears his bags through and pushes the ticket into his hand. Edwards looks at BC, goes to shake his hand, but then decides to give him a hug. They pat each other on the back.
Thanks, BC, Edwards says, stepping back. You know, for sticking by me and all.
He shakes his head.
Man, I appreciate everything you did. Your advice. Thank you, BC.
Edwards smiles a half-hearted smile. He lifts his carry-on bag.
Hey, I gotta run.
He turns and runs for Gate 7.
I'll see you sometime,
he shouts at BC over his shoulder. BC picks up something in his tone. How long are you gone for? BC shouts back.
I don't know, he yells as he runs. A while. I'll be in touch. I gotta go.
Have a good time,
BC says, thinking there's no way Edwards can still hear him. But somehow Edwards does, and turns to wave. Then Edwards disappears into the crowd, heading for the departure gates. BC turns and heads for the Vatican mission.
I hate to see that guy go. He was one of the good ones. Maybe it's because he didn't get elected into office. Somehow that let him do a better job. Plus, he was a real friend. I don't have many true friends. Speaking of friends, I've got to find Mbeke, and find something to give my new friends in the UTZ to string them along.
Purposes and missions. I like it.
It's good to have goals to accomplish.
BC enters the main dome and takes in the surroundings. The bareness is harsh, with the old trees now gone forever, the old growth dead and removed. But there are new plantings around the central pool and on the bridges. And in one major improvement, the new dome itself is actually clearer than the original dome was. Yet the new dome is made of stronger material.
The crowd isn't quite as bustling as it used to be. Still not as many people here as before, not yet. Still they are here, still running on errands, hustling to work or whatever. Each person a planet spinning in its own orbit, shuffling off to jobs, other pressing destinations, or with their heads a swivel. Maybe tourists, wandering aimlessly or ducking into stores around the perimeter wall.
And then there are some people you'd rather not see at all.
McIntyre. And he's looking this way. He's coming this way. Ah, hell.
Daniel McIntyre walks over to BC.
Campion,
McIntyre says, a smug grin on his face.
Governor McIntyre, BC answers with a nod.
The two stand face to face. They look each other in the eye.
What does he want? A stare down?
A minute passes.
A minute is a very long time.
McIntyre finally breaks the silence.
You keep some powerful company, Campion,
Me?
BC feigns innocence.
Hard to miss the ship you just came in on,
McIntyre says with a touch of sarcasm.
You take a short vacation after the signing ceremony? Almost looks like you're violating the declaration before the ink is even dry. You're working directly for the UTZ now that your old masters are gone?
What, is he trying to provoke me? Am I that stupid? I might be. But there's too much at stake.
If I had any idea what you're talking about, I have the feeling it would make me angry, BC says. He issues his challenge in an even, measured tone of voice. Are you trying to make me angry? Why should the governor of Lunar Prime, the vast moon colony, lovely Luna, waste time trying to make the Vatican ambassador angry? Doesn't that violate your declaration?
Play dumb. Fine. Have it your way,
McIntyre says with a shake of his head and a sneer. Fire flashes in his eyes.
You don't fool me, Campion. I see right through you. You had Edwards wrapped around your little finger, but I know who you really are.
He lowers his voice.
Murderer. I just want to hit him. What can I say? I just so want to haul off and let him have it. But I can't hit him now. He's the fucking governor. They could and probably would arrest me on the spot. He would love that. Love to have a reason to put me away, or better yet, exile me away from Lunar Prime. My hitting him is exactly what he wants.
You through? BC asks.
Through?
McIntyre asks rhetorically.
I'm just getting started, Campion. Things are different now. You'd better watch yourself,
McIntyre says with a wag of his finger.
I'd like to snap that finger right off.
Right, BC says dismissively.
Excuse me.
BC steps to the side and then walks on past McIntyre. He hears McIntyre yelling at his back.
Watch yourself, Campion! You better watch yourself!
Watch my ass, asshole. Eat my dust. Eat shit and... Know what? Maybe the time has come to find a way to eliminate him. Kill him and do the world a favor. Pro bono. No charge for this one, folks. It's free. Maybe there is a way to really take him down. He has a checkered past. There's got to be something to humiliate him with. Like that little Asian girl he fooled around with and beat up. Edwards didn't want to go negative during the election, but the election's over. He's off to New York anyway, so why not? It'd be better to render McIntyre ineffective and powerless than kill him outright.
BC keeps walking, thinking, plotting to himself as he leaves McIntyre behind. When he reaches the Vatican mission, he locks down the whole facility, setting the mission to self-contained mode.
I've had enough of people fucking with me for the last 24 hours. Thank you very much.
BC takes comfort in the knowledge that, thanks to his rebuild, the Vatican mission can survive lockdown and self-contained for over 3 months.
If McIntyre wants me, let him try to come get me. Let him try. We'll have a siege. We won't go down easy. Besides, with the war on hold, what kind of backing will he get?
BC makes his way into his personal rooms and plops down in his chair as soon as he gets inside. He rubs his temples. He rubs his eyes with the balls of his hands. One of his headaches threatens to come on, surging up behind his eyes like a freight train rushing in.
Oh man, this sucks. Pressure behind the eyes. It almost has a sound, a high-pitched whine, annoying. Not a sound my ears are hearing, it's a sound in my head. At least I'm tired enough to try to sleep it away.
Beep, 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 beep. Off, BC shouts. The alarm shuts off. BC stirs in the chair, What the? The clock says he's been passed out for almost 10 hours.
Must have fallen asleep in the damn chair. Doesn't even feel like I slept, really. But my headache is gone. My neck hurts, though. Ow.
Beep, 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 beep. Off!
That's not the alarm. That's the comm unit.
What is it? BC shouts. Father Campion?
Lisa, his secretary, is on the comm. Yes, Lisa? BC asks in a more normal tone of voice.
Father, we're locked out. You locked us out after you got back last night.
His secretary scolds him over the comm unit. Yes, I secured the Vatican mission before retiring last night, BC admits.
I'm sorry. I didn't realize you weren't at home, Lisa,
BC says with a hint of suggestiveness.
Father BC, I was visiting some friends,
she gasps over the comm.
I see,
he says with broad humor as he works the security controls. There, your ID should get you in now, he tells her. She sounds indignant, but gracious.
Thank you, Father.
The comm goes off, and BC gets up. He stretches to work out the kinks from a night spent sleeping, sitting in the chair.
This, ouch, damn, stiff neck. Everything is stiff. I can't believe I could sleep so long in that position.
He freshens up until the comm beeps again.
Lisa, again?
Yes, Lisa.
Father, some of the parishioners want to know if you'll be saying a mass today.
What is it, Holy Wednesday? I must be spoiling these people.
What time is it now?
10:30.
Fine, let them know I'll say mass an hour from now at 11:30.
Good. I'm sure they'll be pleased. Mr. Fitzgerald has been leading daily prayer meetings, but some people would really like a daily mass.
Some people meaning you and your friends. I know, Lisa. I know.
Yes, Lisa, I know, but I'm away a lot on church business, so sometimes... BC trails off.
Right, Lisa says. Speaking of church business, I have a communique tagged for you from His Holiness, the Pope. It arrived earlier today. You know, if I hadn't been locked out, I'd have been able to tell you about it sooner,
she admonishes him.
Wow, finally, a word from below.
But I've waited this long. I'll wait until after Mass to deal with that, Lisa.
Yes, Father.
The comm unit silences. BC finishes getting dressed and heads for the chapel to get ready for Mass.
I don't know how much longer I can keep on doing this. Mass was kind of fun when I first said it, but now? I don't know, the novelty's worn off. I certainly ain't going to do it every fucking day. Damn, how shallow is that?
Jim Fitzgerald is already in the sacristy when BC arrives. He's a young lay minister, gives out communion, and reads at Mass. BC had asked Jim to fill in as best he could when BC wasn't able to be there. Fitzgerald's dark complexion and jet-black hair don't quite match his Irish surname. He smiles a little when he sees BC.
Hello, Father BC. We've missed you, he says.
He comes over and shakes BC's hand.
Thank you, Jim, BC replies. I was away on church business, as usual. You know how it is. Did you hold those prayer meetings we talked about while I was away?
Well, sure, we did, but they're not mass, you know? I'm glad, well, everybody will be glad you're back here for a mass. That's all, he says.
Why don't you become a priest, Jim? BC challenges him. Have you ever thought about it?
Jim looks down at his feet as he answers.
All the time, Father, he admits. I don't,
he stammers.
Poor guy sounds embarrassed. Hit a nerve.
Look, BC begins, trying to ease him out of answering.
I don't know, Jim cuts him off. I guess that I just don't think that I'm cut out for it.
he finishes.
Why not? You seem called to it as strongly as I am, maybe more, BC tells the young man.
A whole lot more, let's face it.
Really? Jim asks, encouraged.
Really, BC says, reassuring him. Do you think God would make you hear his call if, like you said, you're not cut out for it? The young man shakes his head.
I don't know.
As long as you do what you do out of love, I'm pretty sure God is behind you 100%, BC says.
Listen to me trying to be wise.
I just don't know, Jim says.
I'm sure your serving him would do him honor, Jim, BC tells him. Why don't you think about it?
I will, Father, Jim says.
If you have any questions, just ask, BC says, magnanimously.
Hopefully now those questions won't be about me and where I've been. Keep him thinking of something else.
The rest of their preparation for Mass passes in silence, each man lost in his own thoughts. BC stays fairly lost through the entire New Reform liturgy, right on through mingling with the good folk of his congregation afterwards for small talk and niceties. He does his part, plays his role, plies his priestly persona to perfection, and then afterwards heads for home.
Swan would be proud. Poor Swan. Man, she didn't deserve to die. A bitch. A royal pain in my ass, sure, but not guilty enough of anything to be killed.
The Cardinal? Okay, maybe.
Nah, not even him, not really. Gallows humor.
BC finds himself chuckling under his breath as he enters his office suite. His fond thoughts of Swan are quickly swept out of the way, however, when Lisa appears with the papal communique.
Here it is, she says as she hands it over. What's so funny?
Nothing, really. Remembering some old friends, BC tells her.
Whatever, she says.
She turns and leaves BC by himself. He takes the communique to his desk.
Sealed. Secure. Only readable in the CCU, by the look of it.
Good. Maybe all is not lost.
BC secures the room before he turns the CCU on and pops the content of the cylinder in. It's a voice-only transmission. A voice BC doesn't recognize.
Father Campion, the voice begins. You've been doing an excellent job as the acting Vatican ambassador to Lunar Prime. Your reports, while not always as timely as we'd like, are nonetheless both thorough and informative. Your tireless efforts rebuilding the Vatican mission on the moon have not gone unnoticed.
Okay, voice only, huh? Is that the new Pope? His chief of staff? Nice to be appreciated.
We know you must have many questions.
That's an understatement.
Your recent meeting with the Executive Council of the Universal Trade Zone has left us with many questions to ask you now as well.
That was fast.
The OPO still functions for now, although on a more limited scale. But we are aware of what is going on. We still observe and gather information. You have been providing us with information, and you are not alone in this. What we do with that information has, however, changed. Your other services have not been required. Now, in the last few days, you've engaged in some very curious behavior. We are puzzled by your visit to Wentworth Station. We believe it is time to go beyond simple reports. We believe it is time for a personal meeting between you and I, Father. I've arranged for passage for you to Rome next Monday. A ship will be arriving with a Father Dacombe on board. He'll sub for you. He'll say the Mass while you're gone, minister to your people up there.
Make sure your congregation makes him feel welcome, eh?
We'll see you in Rome on Tuesday, then. Pope Linus II out.
Well, well, well. What do we have here? That was him, huh? The actual Pope? Guess I'll find out more next week.
That was Chapter 6 of Vatican Ambassador on Glow in the Dark Radio. The new Pope was calling. Hello, Linus. Linus wants to see BC down in Rome. Finally, he realizes BC actually exists now that BC has made his little visit out to Wentworth Station. So we're going to head down to Rome with BC on our next episode of Glow in the Dark Radio. A reminder, the Smashwords July Summer Winter Sale is underway with your chance to save 50% on my big books on the Vatican Assassin Trilogy 3rd Edition, the collected 3-in-1 title there, and on the Adventures of Alibi Jones Chronological Omnibus. Both of those are usually $4.99, so during this July Smashwords Summer Winter Sale, they are just $2.49. That's at smashwords.com. And you can follow the link that's in the show notes. That is all for this time around. I'm your host, your writer and reader, Mike Luoma. Thank you again for listening to Glow in the Dark Radio.
Glow in the Dark Radio.
This podcast presentation is copyright 2023 by Michael F. Luoma and is protected under a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivatives, 4.0 International License, CC by NCND 4.0. Music by Kevin MacLeod. You can find his work at Incompetech.com. Mike's books are available in ebook, paperback, and audiobook wherever you find books online. Get links and more details at glowinthedarkradio.com and mikeluoma.com. This has been a presentation of Glow in the Dark Radio.